This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Hello again, everybody. This is Martin Spriggs with Wells Tech. This is episode 437 for Tuesday, March 22nd, 2016. You've joined a show about technology and ministry, and we chat each and every week about lots of different topics, and helping me do that, as usual, Sally Draper. Hi, Sally.
Hi, Martin. Good afternoon, and welcome to the record-breaking tabs week. For me, at least, it's time to talk about a whole lot of stuff. So I have a loaded up browser in front of me, ready to share a lot of
community stuff. Feedback week. So we take everything that we've heard over the last month and try and condense that down to a show about a lot of different things. And boy, we've got all different kinds of suggestions and directions that we're going to go today. So if you're into kind of the miscellaneous type shows or the potpourri of shows, this one will please you. Because we'll jump around a lot. And we do have a lot of ways for people to contribute. So maybe before we jump into the things that have been shared, we can remind people that we take contributions in many different shapes and sizes. If you go to our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net, you can simply leave a comment on a show. That's maybe one of the easier ways, as well as email wellstech@wells.net. But if you're into social networks, we're on those as well. Google+, Facebook, Twitter, Digo, Pinterest, Instagram. We have a listserv or a Google group now, I guess we should call it. So lots of different ways to get in touch with us. And we also have a voicemail that you can click a button there right on the homepage and talk to us. So please consider that. We would love to hear your feedback, your ideas, the things that you found helpful in your ministries, and share with the class. So that's what this show is all about, our community feedback show. Sally, where would you like to start?
Well, I think it's appropriate to start this month, Martin, with something new, kind of something old, something new, and that is our listserv/Google group you mentioned. We have for many, many years, actually predating this podcast, we've had the Wells Tech listserv, which is basically an email group where you could send an email and a whole bunch of people get it, send it to the proper email address, and everyone on the list that signed up for it gets it and can reply, and there's conversations via that email mechanism. And this month, you actually undertook a pretty major project to migrate that to a new platform, and we are now a Google group instead.
So if you have not gotten the message or switched over, if you are in the old group and you're not on the new group, you should have received an invitation. Don't worry, though, there is a link on the homepage if you know that wanted to spam or you didn't see it, for you to get to that site and request an invite, and we can get that information out to you.
So same concept applies. You'll have a special email address. It goes to the whole group, and then you can reply and comment and share your knowledge, expertise, experience, whatever it may be.
Or just ask your question. You know, we see all kinds of different uses for the group.
And already there's some conversation going on in our brand new Google group, starting with a post. I think you actually made the post on behalf of Shelley Karstens right around the time that we converted over, and she was sharing this Wisconsin Technology Initiative conference that's coming up. I believe it's free of charge. It's happening Friday, April 15th in Neenah, Wisconsin, and they have a really neat tagline. I was reading on the page. It says, technology plus professional development equals technology that makes a difference. So just throwing technology at something doesn't always do a lot of good in the classroom setting. You really need to learn about it, learn best practices and ideas for using it well to enhance and further learning in your classroom. And that looks like what this day is dedicated to. Shelley indicated that she went to the fall conference and there were lots of great choices and things, and she thought other teachers might be interested. She's actually co-presenting a session on smart boards. So if you go, be sure to say hello to fellow Wells Techer, Shelley Karstens, who will be in attendance.
Nice, and thanks for sharing that, Shelley.
We also heard from someone sharing a link to the Gospel Outreach with Media conference that's coming up March 28th. We talked to Pastor Professor Dr. Tom Custer, who's chairman of the Christ in Media Institute and putting on this conference. That was in last week's show, Martin. So if folks haven't listened to that and they want to get more details about Gospel Outreach with Media, be sure to mark your calendars starting March 28th and visit the site gowm.org.
And the neat thing about this, or the unique thing about this one, is it's a totally online conference spread out over a number of days or weeks where you can jump in, dive in, participate in a conversation, ask questions, hear presentations, which are short kind of bite-sized things. So you're not going to kind of have to sign up for a two-hour talk, but you read something, you watch something, and then you have a conversation with other individuals who are interested in talking about that topic. So interesting concept.
Looking forward to it.
And then next there was one a discussion. Yep, let me take this one. This is from the Google Groups again, and this was from Paul Nitz, missionary in Africa, and he was very excited about a, let me see if I can pull this up quickly here, about a website that we've actually talked about before, but he's found some interesting uses for it, openbible.info. I think we even referenced this in a show just a couple of weeks ago. Openbible.info is basically a website full of maps. And if we go there, not only are they maps, but they're geocoded maps. So the reason that Paul found this really helpful is that they have files, KMZ files, that can be imported into Google Earth. So this is what he said. Open Bible Info has KMZ files that Google Earth can open. Turn off all the modern labels. Turn on Open Bible KMZ files, and you have Bible places shown on Google Earth. Now you can display Bible places, zoom in, zoom out, even fly from Bible place to Bible place in their flight simulator. The Bible places can be shown by Bible chapter. Whatever place name is in the chapter will appear on the map. There are some map overlays available, such as an ancient map of Jerusalem. Then he has a section called The Wow. This is amazing, absolutely amazing. I flew up the Jordan Valley from the Dead Sea to Jerusalem. Amazing. I circled around Jerusalem City. I had turned on an ancient map overlay, making it mostly transparent, and could see the hills of Zion. I found Bethany and Bethlehem. I flew up to Nazareth and traced my way to Capernaum. Amazing. The flying is a bit of a learning curve. And then he talks about a few ideas that he had about putting things together that would be very useful for Bible class and other contexts, maybe even adding an audio commentary and recording your flight. So very impressed. And this is a great application for the for the tool, which probably wasn't meant necessarily for this, but you put a couple of technologies together and you've got something that could be really, really useful in a lot of different contexts.
Yeah, I don't know about you, Martin. In our Bible class this whole year, we've been going through 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. And, you know, we're just pretty near the beginning of 2 Samuel. David's just been anointed as king over all of Israel, not just Judah. But there was a whole lot of traveling going on in 1 and 2 Samuel. They were all over the place. And it was really interesting. And maps have been a key part of that to understand where the Philistines were and the Jebusites and all these different entities that were around Israel at the time, where Saul was, where David was, where they came together for battles or whatever it may be. And I think that kind of technology would be just wonderful for a pastor preparing for those kind of Bible classes.
Yeah. So if you're not familiar with this concept or with openbible.info, they have all kinds of other stuff there too. They call them labs or experimental interfaces, Bible word locators, verse photo composites, sentence paths, those kinds of things. So cross-references. So take a look at the site, and I think you might, if you are a Bible student or if you lead a Bible study, great tools there.
Absolutely. All right, time to move over to our friend Digo. Digo is basically a link collection facility, and we have a Wells Tech group there. So if you're a member of the Wells Tech group, and we'd love to join to have you join us, you can tag things and they'll show up to everyone in the group. And so we had a few things that were added to the DIGO group that we wanted to share. First, from Jason Schmidt, he added a link to oercommons.org. I wasn't familiar with this site. It stands for Open Educational Resources, OER, and basically you can come here and search on all different categories of instruction, as well as grade levels, and you can get things based on Common Core standards, or Next Generation Science standards, lots of different standards that you can search for. And then once you put in your criteria, it gives you different lessons and things that have been shared in this basically kind of a Creative Commons format for lesson sharing. And they have things specifically related to STEM. You can go into their STEM literacy area and learn more about STEM literacy, and look for STEM learning resources specifically arranged by different areas of study and things. So lots of resources here, just really impressive what they've put together on the OER Commons site. And we really thank Jason for sharing that link.
These curated sites are becoming really popular because of just the wealth of information that's out there. It's really difficult to kind of do a Google search and not spend just inordinate amounts of time just clicking around, searching around. Some of these sites are good to bookmark because they've done some of that work for you, curated the list, and I noticed that even on this one, they have a rating system. So it's sometimes helpful to kind of filter by, you know, 5 stars or 4 stars, what other teachers have thought of the material. So you've got kind of a community working with each other to figure out what's worth spending time looking at. So those are valuable resources.
Yeah, and they have a whole methodology around adding to it. So they have an authoring tool called OpenAuthor. And so if you want to contribute your own things to the Commons, you can do that as well.
Awesome. Good find, Jason.
Definitely. And moving along, a tagged article from Pastor Emil Burgess called The Magic of 30-Minute Meetings. And I thought this was an interesting concept. Basically, he talked about being focused and not multitasking and things like that, and using a compressed time to really be I don't want to use the word focused again, but to organize yourself and be efficient in using that time well. And he likened it to like his exercise routine. And he had just 30 minutes, you know, so he had to get really intense in that period of time and different things like that. Well, then he turned and applied it to the concept of meetings. And if you knew in advance that we had only 30 minutes to meet on a particular topic, people show up on time, they are prepared and focused on what's most important and what they absolutely have to accomplish in that meeting time. So you get actually more things done in less time. He does go into some of the downsides. He hasn't seen any yet, but he kind of challenges you to give it a try and see if the 30-minute meeting might help you. And I just was kind of smiling to myself. It was a pastor who shared this with us. And what if we had like 30-minute maybe church council meetings or evangelism committee meetings or whatever it was. What if you actually applied this to some of those typical standard monthly meetings that happen in a church setting and got a lot more focused? That would be an interesting experiment.
We had a similar conversation when we were talking about that chapter in our book, With All Your Heart, because we had a whole chapter on meeting management, and we talked about death by meetings and, you know, did a review of that book too. And I think at that time we talked to Pastor Gunther, who talked about some of those shorter meetings, and it really focused on getting stuff online, getting people prepped, getting them coming ready for the meeting. Sal, you and I just sat through a 2-hour meeting, you know, of our own choosing just shortly before the podcast. And some things, you know, have to be worked through. And there are different kinds of meetings. We kind of had more of a brainstorming, you know, talk around issues kind of a meeting. But I would think there are many meetings where if the agenda were tight enough and the preparation was good enough, that's all possible. And then when you tell people, well, you're only going to have to be here for 30 minutes, you have less of a temptation maybe to jump onto your phone or answer emails or, you know, a lot of the other distractions, because you know, hey, this is going to be a sprint from start to finish of this meeting. I really need to be focused. I think there's a lot to be said for that.
Right. And maybe if your council meetings are 2 hours now, if you could get them to a 1 hour meeting with that kind of mentality, that might be a good start.
Yeah. So. Or give them some chocolate if they stay within the time or something like
there
that.
There you go. Bribe them. One link shared by Jason Winjet is to an article from our friends over at Church Mag, churchm.ag. And the article is titled The Green Bay Packers of Church Management. Now, I'm not sure if he shared this just because it mentioned the Packers or what, but anyway, the concept of tying it to the Packers was the fact that they are owned by their fans. They are basically a publicly owned nonprofit team, the only one out there of that nature. And then he likened that to a new church management software that they're reviewing called Rock RMS for Relationship Management System. And Rock RMS is apparently an open source church management system. And it looks really impressive. It might be worth someone investing some time to give it a run for the money. But on initial review, Martin, without lifting the hood and diving in, Rock RMS might be worth some time and attention by us.
So. Yeah, it looks the interface is pleasing, certainly. Mm-hmm. I haven't had a chance to dig into it, but looks promising.
Definitely. So, and then yours truly shared a few links via Digo. I'll just go through those real quickly. Becoming a Google Slides artist with these 7 tricks. So if you're switching over to using Google Slides for more and more of your presentations, perhaps you want to read through this and watch some of the tutorials. They've kind of combined some different lessons and things that they've put together about Google Slides. Good things to learn there.
You know, that's when I added to my pinboard list for the class I teach every summer for MLC on dynamic classroom presentations. I really enjoyed this particular article because it was, they have a little video that goes along with each mm-hmm. one, so they kind of guide you through the process. None of these are, you know, earth-shattering, but just kind of simple presentation techniques that some people might not have thought would be in it, like an online presentation tool. Maybe you would be in Keynote or PowerPoint, but you wouldn't think that they were in Google Slides. I've told you a number of times over the past, you know, 6 to 12 months, I've become a real Google Slides fan, and that's primarily what I use for presentations at this point. Occasionally I'll pull out another tool, but I love the convenience, the simplicity of it, mm-hmm. and the convenience of having it online and all in the same place. And one of the biggest blessings of using Google Slides is the shareability. You just put together a link and, you know, make it public and away, you know, it's just out there. So rather than printing it out or handing out handouts, I just give that link, and that's really a time saver too.
Awesome. All right, next up, a couple of things. I always laugh because we compile these things for a whole month, and then today 2 new things came across my desk, so I had to throw them in. This was an article from JotForm. They're promoting a new payment processor called Dwolla.
Dwolla.
D-W-O-L-L-A. And it says that Dwolla will process your payments on online forms with no fees, no per transaction fee. Mm-hmm. And so they give you a lot of different payment tools that you can integrate into JotForms, which is a online form creator, including PayPal and Authorize.net, things like that. But this one had a little appeal to me. And I know we often get questions about churches wanting to collect, like, I don't know, fees for a soccer camp or something like that. And sometimes I just kind of steer them away from it. Maybe you don't want to go that route. Just have them hand you a check or whatever. Mm-hmm. But if you are really eager to get into the online payment world, maybe this is the right timing for you, and you can take advantage of Dwolla's zero payment processing fees for per transaction.
So. I wonder how they do. I'd love to hear from somebody who's actually used this and see what the catch is.
Because yeah, how they're making money.
Always get something for nothing.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Looked interesting anyway.
Yeah, for sure. And just the concept of taking payments through a tool like JotForm. And you saw that there were, if you're watching, a number of payment gateways. So it's likely that you could integrate with something that you're already using too.
Mm-hmm. And then one that I just read about again this morning is from our friends at TechSmith, which is the company that produces Snagit, Camtasia, Jing, all kinds of software for using images and video to share your message. And they actually have a free webinar coming up, how visuals and video impact learning, enhancing your toolbox with Snagit. And one of the focuses, I think, will be using Snagit to create videos. But I really like their description. It reminded me of a time in our past congregation where I was involved in the church management software. And every week we'd have counters who were counting the offering and wanting it to get it into the church management software. And I ended up making them a step-by-step guide with screenshots using Snagit and pointing at the buttons to push and things like that. So even in a church office, it's nice to have that kind of visual documentation of different steps that need to be completed by different groups or whatever. Mm-hmm. So if you'd like to learn more, it's a free webinar. It's happening Tuesday, March 29th. So that would be next Tuesday. And it's from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern time. So head on over to the link. We'll have it in the show notes and sign up for the free webinar if you're interested.
And Snagit is one of their more inexpensive tools. I don't remember what the price is offhand or if there's a nonprofit price, but if you're into needing a screen capture tool, whether that be image, still image, or video, Snagit is maybe a tool that you want to look at. Definitely. Been around a long time and they do it well.
Absolutely. All right, next up, we'll just make mention of our friends over on Facebook. We have a Facebook page. You're welcome to like that. We went over 500 likes this month, Martin. We also have connections to the Wells Intersections Facebook group, which is a group centered in the Milwaukee metro area of people that are meeting together for face-to-face discussions of ministry and technology. Kind of sprang up from Pastor Jim Aderman and his participation in Wells Tech Conference to have more of a localized group. But you don't have to be local to participate in the group in Facebook. You know, you may not be able to attend their face-to-face meetings, but goodness gracious, there's all kinds of good stuff here on the Wells Intersection page. Just always something interesting Pastor Aderman's sharing here and others. And one thing they're sharing is the fact that they're going to have a meeting coming up April 9th. So that's a Saturday. They are going to be meeting at St. John, which is on 68th and Forest Home there in the Milwaukee area. And their speaker is going to be Steve Zambo, who's a professor at Wisconsin Lutheran College and owner of Salty Earth Studios. And he is going to talk about video, obviously, because he's got a lot of video background. So join them for that discussion on Saturday, April 9th. Breakfast or fellowship time starts at 8:30 a.m., presentation and discussion at 9 a.m., and then some networking time at 10:30 a.m. They're also going to look at the St. John's Video Lab. So sounds like a fun day and a good group to be a part of.
Yep, kind of a birds of a feather group. Everybody there is interested in trying to find those intersections of technology and ministry. So I think you'll like it if you're in the area. Try to attend.
All right, a quick mention of our Google groups that we participate in, Google Communities, I think they're called. And there's one for Office 365 schools. There's one for Google Apps schools. Via the Google Apps school, another mention of an article from The Guru. The Guru seems to have lots of good stuff about Google. This article from Justin Goot was 8 best Chrome extensions as chosen by teachers. So it's quite likely that you might find something on this list that you aren't using currently in your Chrome browser. I use LastPass. That's one they mention. And Extensity.
You got it.
City is one for managing all your Chrome extensions so you can see them all there and control them. You can shorten links with the Google link shortener. You can read aloud with the read and write extension might be great for some students who have learning disabilities that have online textbooks or whatever to read, or just reading the screen in general. Capture your screen with Screencastify and send your students to the same website with two clicks. I think we tried this one once, the Share to Classroom Chrome extension, where you could just send them all a link. And then I think Professor James Karlofsky mentioned Grammarly as one of his favorite extensions when he was on the show a few months ago. So lots of good stuff there, and perhaps something new to enhance your Google Chrome browsing experience.
Yeah, and just a shout out to that group, the Google Schools group. If you're not a member of that and you're interested in, mostly I think they focus on Chrome and Chromebooks and, you know, some of the things that Google brings to the table for education. This Google Plus group should be something that gets on your radar, this Google Schools group.
Definitely. All right, next up we heard from our friend Drew Willems, who teaches at Shoreland Lutheran High School, technology coordinator there, and he was present last week apparently at the Midwest Google Summit. I want to say that happens in Wisconsin Dells each year, but I'm not 100% sure. Yep. But anyway, he did give a little bit of a Twitter shout out to one of the presentations that he attended, and this one was about a kind of one of Google's best kept secrets, Google Keep. We haven't done a lot or talked a lot about Google Keep on the show, but it's basically a place to keep notes. And there's this really nice presentation that you can follow. We'll have a link in the show notes about Google Keeps, as well as kind of an outline of the presentation and the notes document from the presentation. And at the end of that, I found a link to this website, How to Use Google Keep for Frustration-Free Note-Taking. And this is a really extensive article where they talk through all different capabilities of Google Keep. So it's a really good basic article. I think if you read through this, you'd have a really firm grasp on what Google Keep can do for you and how to use it efficiently. So great links shared by Drew Willems.
Very good. Mm-hmm. I think I'm up next with some more Twitter stuff. And again, it is very easy to contribute to the show via Twitter. Just post a tweet or retweet with the hashtag WellsTech. I was on the Concordia Technology site the other day, and they have a regular blog with a number of writers for it, and that's something maybe you want to bookmark as well or put in your RSS feeder. One of their blog articles was called Why I Use an iPad During Worship, and this is from a pastor's perspective. So they're talking about an iPad in the hands of the pastor who is leading worship. And he talks about, you know, some of the pluses and minuses of it. So I think if you are considering that, it's a real short article. It's just personal opinion how he works at it and why he's kind of going that direction. One of the reasons that I thought was interesting that kind of resonated with me and maybe you too, Sally, is that if you've got your stuff on the iPad, it is resizable. So if you need to zoom in on something without putting the reading glasses on, this might not be a bad solution for you. So you have to obviously be sensitive to what your congregation is thinking, but he does talk about some caveats as well. Have a backup plan and obviously know how to use the technology. but it's a good article and probably a good blog to follow. I think they are very intentional about the posts that they put on here and just something that, again, finding those intersections of technology and ministry. The second thing that I retweeted with the hashtag WellsTech was an article on Engadget, and this has appeared in other places too. Amazon working on educational platform for course materials. Not a lot of information here yet, but Amazon has put together an education wait list because they are apparently going to be launching something in the near future, we think, that would kind of rival what Google maybe is doing, but a way to update or post educational materials on the Amazon platform, whatever that is. They're calling it a revolutionary educational platform. So if you want to keep up to date on what Amazon is coming out with for people in education, just click on this link in the show notes and you can kind of get on their waiting list.
That's pretty cool. People can rely on Wells Tech for news in tech and for news about news in tech, because right. It hasn't even happened yet.
Here's where you get in line. Yes.
You're so far ahead of the curve, Martin. That's impressive. Exactly. So.
All right. Now I'll go to my favorite section of community feedback.
Pinterest. Yay. Of course. Yeah, he says that tongue in cheek, but we know all good things come from Pinterest. So this one actually came from our friend Debbie Dietrich, who shared an infographic titled Student Quick Guide to Google Classroom. And I like this because it's basically a one-stop shop to give people reference material for what the classroom interface is like. But with that infographic flair to it, it can just go on as long as it needs to. So even though it's just one graphic, it's pretty long, and they show screen captures and descriptions of where to look and what the buttons do and what the links are for, how to view assignments, how to open templates, how to submit assignments, walks you through the process step by step, turning in files, sharing, unsubmitting things. I think this would be a really great resource for teachers to tuck away and perhaps go through with their students at the beginning of a semester or whatever when you're going to use Classroom.
Great resource for that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. Put a link to it on your desktop or whatever, share it with the kids. Absolutely.
Good. Or even add it to your own Pinterest board. How about that?
Yeah,
there's a pin link right here. So good stuff. All right. That almost concludes our community feedback. We had one email that I wanted to share in particular. We had a lot of email, but a lot of them are covered by other links and things we've discussed. This one is from Michael Villager, I think is how you would pronounce his last name. He's at Risen Savior Lutheran School in Mankato, Minnesota, and is the technology coordinator there. And he pointed us to the academic superstore.com, where you can buy copies of Office Professional Plus, so it includes publisher as well, Office Professional Plus 2016 for $19.99 if you're a K-12 or higher ed educator or staff. So this is a price just available for school teachers or school staff. Starting with kindergarten. It specifically says preschool isn't included for some reason, but a good price if you're looking to download a personal copy of Office 2016, licensing available for teachers and staff.
Yep, good stuff. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mike. I think that exhausts our community feedback for the day, correct, Sally?
It does. We got a little more intermixed in the rest of the show, but that's the bulk of it. So.
Okay. Well, that took quite a while. Why don't we jump to our Wells Now section and remind people about the photo challenge?
That's a great idea, Martin. We do have a photo challenge. It's a year-long photo challenge, and every month we give you new things to take pictures of and submit to our Flickr photo library. For the month of March, which isn't over yet, folks, we've still got Easter to experience this month and another week next week, almost a full week. So you can submit pictures of Lent, Easter, or Luke 24, verse 6a, which says, "He is not here, he is risen." So representative images for that passage. And I'm happy to say that we have many available to us already. You'll want to visit our challenge library and make use of some of these. I don't have it sorted correctly, but there are some new ones that aren't showing on the screen yet for Palm Sunday. So we got some submissions. And I have to give a quick shout out to Naomi Green. She tagged me in this picture. It's kind of small on my screen. But her comment was, when there's no blue skies for the photos, you can make your own. And she said, "Sally Draper, this was for you." It was actually for the Wells Tech photo challenge, and I wish I had her images up. I'm sorry I don't, but you can see in the picture she had palm branches, she had a palm tree, and was taking them on a beautiful blue background. So
awesome.
The steps that our photographers go to be part of our challenge, it's really fun to see. And Naomi's just a huge contributor. We're going to have her on the show someday.
Yeah, she's I think in the running for the Wall of Fame.
Yeah, there you go. So good stuff. Head over to wellstech.wells.net/photo challenge to learn more about the challenge. We've got prizes we're going to give out, and there's a form there that you can fill out to submit your own images. So we'd love to include you.
Awesome. I think it's the time in the show where we take something that we call our pick of the week and share it. What's your pick of the week, Sally?
And my pick of the week also came from TechSmith. I mentioned earlier they're having a webinar. In that same newsletter that I read about the webinar, I read an article titled 13 Tips for Recording Your iPhone, iPad, or iPod. So it may be that you'd want to do some kind of a video recording of, to demonstrate an app. Maybe your students are going to be using an app in your classroom or whatever it is, something from your mobile device, your iOS mobile device. And this article is really well done. I've done a lot of training videos, and one thing that causes me to have to redo my training videos is if I don't think of the little details. I kind of think of it like setting the table, preparing the environment that I'm going to record. And in this article, they talk about things like cleaning up the clutter on your screen so they don't see all of the different apps that you have installed. You kind of tuck them away on another screen or whatever. And they have, you know, demonstration images and videos and things to show you how to do that embedded here. Enable the do not disturb mode so you don't get some pop-up message while you're recording that would cause you to have to stop and re-record. Lock the orientation. I didn't know where that little lock icon was, but it's on that control panel there. On the iPhone. And then they talk about turning off Zoom, unmuting your device if you want the sound to come through in your recording, perhaps turning off some background music in a game or something, and freeing up resources and things. So a lot of things that maybe you don't necessarily think about, but really add to the professionalism and keep you from having to do multiple takes on video of that type. They link to an article about capturing video from your tablet that includes links to different software that you can use for capturing video. I've played with Reflector before, but they actually listed AirServer first, and this is one I wasn't familiar with, Martin. I don't know if you are, but this looks like a really robust software, and I plan to download it and give it a try. In a classroom setting, they show examples of how multiple people can have their devices show on the screen at the same time, and I think they have a little video here that kind of demonstrates that. So if you want to head over to airserver.com and check that out, doesn't require any extra software. It's making use of the AirServer that's built into iOS, but it's giving you something to receive that even on a PC, not just a Mac.
That's the key, right there.
Yeah, works on a PC as well, and it works for multiple devices at once, so you can have three people's screens up on the screen at the same time if you want. So fun stuff, and really looks like a leap forward in this kind of technology. So I'm going to definitely give AirServer a try.
Cool.
That's my pick.
All right. My pick is actually was mentioned a little bit earlier in the show. It is a feature that is available in LastPass. LastPass is a password management software that we use here in the center office, and I've used personally for a long, long time. It's similar to 1Password or some of the other password tools that we've talked about, but LastPass, I think, in my mind, is one of the better ones. There is a feature in there called Emergency Access. Their little write-up on the feature says, do you worry about your family, friends, partner, or spouse having access to important accounts should something happen to you? Let's say maybe you go in for heart surgery or you pass away. What would happen with all those passwords? Let's say you manage the accounts for family finances or for other, you know, your Facebook account or those kinds of things. You do have to think about those kind of things. Can you pay the mortgage? Can you stop billing? Change billing addresses, change bank accounts, those kinds of things, if all your passwords are in LastPass. So this emergency access tool basically enables you to put people on your friends list or people I trust list. So if you go into the vault, if you're familiar with LastPass, it's a security vault mechanism that they use. And if you go in there, there is a people I trust list. So you add people, family members or friends, and you would give them access in case of an emergency to your vault. so they can come in and see your passwords should you not be able to go in yourself. And the way it works is they have to be a LastPass member. They have to have a LastPass account themselves. And they don't necessarily have to use it, but they have to have a LastPass account. You put in their email address, and they'll get sent an invitation. And then you select the wait time, 3 hours, 6 hours, 12 hours, 48 hours, 3 days, 7 days, up to 30 days. And that's the amount of time that you have to decline the request. So if they come in to their LastPass and they request emergency access to your account, you have a certain period of time to deny it. So there's some security built in. So if you're not able to answer after 3 hours or a day or whatever time frame you set, they get access. So they have the ability to come in and grab what they need to go on with whatever they need to go on with. This is a free feature that comes along with LastPass, and something maybe we wouldn't have thought of, you know, maybe a few years back, but now that we become so dependent on online tools and the passwords that go with them, this just makes a lot of sense to build into a tool like this emergency access should you not be able to perform your required duties, so to speak. So
I have to admit, it is something I've thought of in the past, but I did it with writing it down, sealing it in an envelope, and tucking that envelope away and telling, like, say it, my husband and I are both leaving, telling my oldest son, if anything were to happen to both of us, that's where the envelope is, but I'm going to know if he opened it or not, you know, I mean, so this is a lot cleaner and a lot more safe than that, for sure.
So I haven't had to use it, but I've got it set up, and I think it's a great tool for the purpose that that it's there for. So that's LastPass emergency access. Let's move on to ministry resources, Sally.
And I promise that we weren't through exactly with our community feedback, because there was one that we tucked away here under ministry resources from Pastor Emil Burgess, a link that he shared via Digo that we wanted to make sure got added to our ministry resources page as well. And it's to this blog called Stand to Reason, and they have compiled a list of short apologetic videos. And so they're saying that these might be useful for teaching purposes, starting a discussion, whatever it may be, in Sunday school or Bible class, pastors, whatever, church leaders. And they have put together a list covering a lot of different things. I've watched a few of these, and they're very high quality and well done. I think that you could definitely use them as discussion starters in your congregation. You might want to enhance or extend what they've explained in the videos, but I think they're a great resource.
Yeah, they're like you say, they're very well done, and I think they obviously come at it from a reasoning standpoint. So they're applying some logic, and obviously that's not always enough when you're talking about somebody who walks by faith. So that's, you know, you may want to fill in some of the gaps. But like you say, I think these are great discussion starters, and they're talking about all kinds of controversial issues, same-sex marriage and drugs and, you know, everything
abortion,
things that will come up in day-to-day conversations and day-to-day opportunities for having those spiritual conversations that may make a difference in somebody's life.
Definitely. So we appreciate you sharing the link. Just to be clear, this isn't a Wells blog or anything like that. It's just a blog that Emil came across and was able to share that link for us. So we really appreciate that. And in that vein, we normally end our show with a video feature. And they happen to have one called Did Jesus Rise from the Dead? So again, looking at it a lot more logically maybe, but there is some ending tie together with our faith, obviously. So,
and it's not that they don't have Bible passages and don't talk through that, because they definitely do. But
So that one will be on our show notes this week. With it being Holy Week, we thought Did Jesus Rise from the Dead was a good one to feature.
So thanks, Emil, again. All right, that should do it for our community feedback show. Next week, Sally, I'm going to leave you to yourself and Jason to take on the show, and that's our educational technology focus. I'm going to be on vacation myself, and but the show will be in good hands. And Jason always has some interesting educational angles that he brings to the table.
Definitely. He shared a couple ideas already. He's going to be at a robotics conference, so I think we're going to get some firsthand experience about robotics in education. And he's also got early access to Google's Expeditions, which is their virtual reality platform for classroom use, for education use with like the Google Cardboard. We talked about that a little bit in the past, and we're going to hear what Jason's experience, maybe kind of lift the veil on this new Google Expedition. So looking forward to that conversation. So, and yeah, who knows what else we might get into.
Who knows?
Boss is away.
That's right. Awesome. Thanks for covering. I appreciate that. That's going to be about it for this Holy Week. Blessings on your journey to the cross and your viewing of the empty tomb. Happy Easter, Sally.
You too.
Bye-bye.